You are listening to the Stetson Students Podcast, where we post all of the series and messages from our student ministry. We are a ministry connected to Stetson Baptist Church, where we are for DeLand and for Jesus. If you would like to learn anything more about our ministries, please check out our social medias or go to stetsonbaptistchurch.org.
So really, over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about what does it look like for me to have the greatest summer ever, right? So we want you to understand that, man, the summer, it's not just a season where you get to go and have fun and be a teenager, but it's also a great opportunity for you to invest in your relationship with Jesus. So we want to help you understand, what does that look like for me to use my summer to invest in my relationship with Jesus? Just because we're not meeting in this room on a Wednesday night during the summer does not mean that your faith cannot grow in a season over the summer. So I want to start us off with a question to kind of get us jumping, get the ball rolling into our series. And it is this: who's winning? One gorilla or 100 guys? Who's winning that? No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. That's not my question. But come on, can we just be honest? It's the gorilla. The gorilla would win that fight, okay? 10 out of 10 times, cannot make me think differently. It is the gorilla, okay? All right, here's my real question. I want to know, what is something that you are great at? What is something like raise your hand, let me know. Daniel in the back. Soccer, love it. Bella in the back. Bella Sophia, huh? Drawing, yes. Right here, Lindsay. Playing your instrument, RJ in the back. Eating and sleeping. Hey, it's a good thing to be good at. Sophia, I got it the first time. I don't act like I corrected myself, okay? Huh? Crocheting. I got scolded because I called crocheting knitting. Don't do that, by the way. I know some of your faces already are showing me what you believe. Catherine, don't look at me like that. It's scary. What is yours, Catherine? Ballet. It was Taylor in the back, correct? No, not Taylor. Carly. Yes. Writing, like writing stories, or okay. Well, I have a lot of college papers to do right now, so I'll talk to you after. Okay, yeah, you got that for me. Cool, yeah. So all right. What about this? Let me know. You know, even if you didn't tell me what you're great at, I want to know, why are you great at that? Like, what makes you great at what you're great at? All right. Next is Abby, right? Cool. Jesus makes you. Oh, come on, church answer. Let's go. Holy. Paige? And what were you great at? Writing. Okay, yeah. Connor? Practice makes you great. That's great. Miles? Also practice, yeah. Malachi? Repeated practice and get. Oh, yours is karate, isn't it? Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, yeah. Evie? Oh, practice? Okay, Grady, I'm just kidding, Gavin. What's up? Okay, yeah, so perseverance, that's good. Mackenzie, did you have your hand up? Okay, what? If it's drawing, practice until you're... So a lot of you are like doing the thing, right? Like practicing, or hey, if I fail, I learn from my failure. I keep moving on. I keep getting better. So what's great is, I don't know about you, I'm a very competitive person. Anybody else? Any other competitive people in there? Yeah. So I grew up with a sibling, and so that usually correlates. Like I always wanted to be better at him than everything. I am better at him than everything, so don't talk to him. He's not here, so he can't speak for himself. But no, I'm a very competitive person. I have a sports background, and so it played into my sports. Sports creates a lot of that. So what my competitiveness means is I want to be great. Like I want to be. I don't want to just do something to do it, but I want to be great at it. It literally takes over a lot of what I do. Fun fact, I'm a big podcast listener, but I can't listen to a podcast and not listen to every single podcast of that podcast. So like if there's a podcast that I pick up and I'm 200 episodes behind, I will go back and listen to those 200 episodes because I have to be great at listening to podcasts. Like, and I got to be like a true fan of that. And so what's cool is in the Bible, we actually get to see Jesus teach us, how do I be the greatest version of myself? He looks at, like, as we walk through the greatest summer ever, I really want us to focus on the word greatest today. And what's cool is we get told, well, how can I be the greatest Nate? How can I be the greatest, whatever, you know, insert your name, that I can be, not just in the summer, but in life. And so we actually see it in many different books of the Bible, but primarily we're going to be looking at Luke 22 today, and really just four verses or three verses that talk to us about Jesus telling us, how can I be the greatest version of myself? So picking up in verse 24, I'm going to read, explain, and then we're going to jump into some application. Cool? If you're with me, give me a thumbs up. Yeah? Great. Okay, that's like half around. Let's do it again. If you're with me, thumbs up. All right, we're getting better. All right, we'll get there, right? Picking up in verse 24 of chapter 2 of Luke, says this, a dispute also arose among them, talking about the disciples, as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. So I imagine in this moment, so the disciples are with Jesus and they're kind of like around a table and they're talking like friends do, and they start going like tit for tat, who's the best disciple? Who is the best follower of Jesus in that time? So one's probably like, you know, well, hey, I healed a blind person three times in the last week and a half. And the other is like, oh, that's so cool. I made a paralyzed man walk. So I'm the greatest, right? Or they're like, man, Jesus has told me this and he hasn't told you this or whatever. And so they're going like back and forth, like friends or siblings would do. And so they're like, arguing and trying to make a case for why they are the greatest of the followers of Jesus. And so Jesus steps into this and he goes, and Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. So Jesus steps into this as they're kind of going back and forth. And one of them probably goes like, Jesus, what do you think? Like, wouldn't you, you know, tell John that I'm better than him? Or tell, you know, tell Peter I'm the one that you would go to. Like, I'm the cool one, right? And Jesus comes to them and in very Jesus-like manner says a wise, almost like analogy to them. Instead of just answering them straight up of, you know, you're the best or you're the best. He goes, hey, the Gentiles, they have leaders. And their leaders lorded over them. In a sense, he's saying there's a hierarchy to leadership. Like if I am the greatest, if I'm the leader, if you will, the greatest, if I was a Gentile, I would lord it over you as somebody beneath me that I'm greater than you. And in a sense, he's telling them, this is what you're doing right now. We still, like this resonates with us, I think, today. When I think of that, I think of this. Has anybody ever seen somebody like ride in a really cool limo? Yeah. I don't know about you, but when I look at that, I'm like, that's pretty cool. That person's probably loaded. That person's probably famous, you know? Or like if they have like security around them, you know, it's like people are serving them because they're greater, right? And that's what he is saying, is that is how the world works. But Jesus steps into that and he goes, but not so with you. Instead, you need to act differently. He uses the analogy, a younger serving the older. That's still true kind of today, but in this sense, like your birthright, like your birth order really mattered. And so if you were younger, if you were born younger, I don't know about you, I'm a youngest. And so I would be serving my older brother. Like he would have authority over me to tell me what am I supposed to do? And I would serve him because he's older than me. And he outrights me in birth and he is in a sense greater than me. And so Jesus says, we need to act as the younger brother. We need to come and with our greatness, do it through service. And in a sense, he is looking at them and saying, we need to flip the whole system upside down. You guys are coming to me arguing for your greatness. You need to be flipping it and saying, how can I serve? How can I become the weakest? How can I become the least? He finishes by saying this in verse 27. For who is the greater? One who reclines at the table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as the one who serves. So Jesus doubles down again. And he says, like, think about it. If you're reclining at a table versus somebody serving the person at the table, who's greater? Well, the world would tell you the person at the table is greater. The world would tell you that the person serving them is not as great as the person who's being served. That's the order of the matter. But then he goes, well, that's what the world says. But what have I done? What have I, as Jesus, done? The person that you look up to, the person that you would call great, what have I done? And he goes, well, I've come and I've served you. I have come as the great one to be of service. And it's a beautiful passage, but now we kind of step out of it and go, okay, well, what does that say about us? Like, what does that tell me? Nate, you told me that in the Bible, Jesus tells us, how can I be the greatest person that I can be? How can I be the greatest Nate? How can I be the greatest, insert your name, right? Well, it's this. This is the point for you to take home today. To be the greatest person you can be, you must be a servant. Be a servant. Look to serve one another. Look to help one another. Look to aid one another. But what I love about the service that we get, it's very different than the service that Jesus gives us, because this. Jesus served because he loves you. Like he doesn't, think about it this way. Jesus doesn't have to serve you. We don't hold the reins to Jesus saying, like, you serve me. Like, you, I deserve to be served by you. God, I deserve you to serve me as your creation. Creator of all, you have to serve your creation because we deserve it. That's not true. What's different for us is that we don't have this half-hearted service of like, man, I gotta serve because I'm told to serve. I gotta serve because, you know, Jesus tells me I need to serve. Like, he says it's the best for me, so I guess I gotta do it. No. We get to serve out of a heart that has been served. Like, hear me. You will never serve somebody as great as Jesus has already served you. You'll never meet that threshold. You can serve somebody in any capacity you want, but you'll never serve somebody the way and at the length that Jesus has and continues to serve us. So we get to serve and be a servant out of a heart that has been served so greatly. Matthew 20 puts it this way. It says, the Son of Man, talking about Jesus, came not to be served, but to serve. And what is this service? It is to give his life as a ransom for many. We are the many. Jesus has served us by giving us himself, by taking on our sinfulness and giving us his righteousness, by saying you could not measure up to the way that you had to be saved and be in right relationship and have eternity with me again. So I came to serve you so that you could. Hear me, there is no greater service than that. And so we get to serve out of a heart of gratitude. We get to serve out of a heart of joy, knowing that it is only by Jesus that we can be saved and that we have the opportunity to serve in the capacity that we do. So what does this look like? So I need to be a servant. We need to be a servant. I thought about three ways that we need to be servants and in areas that we can be a servant so that you can literally take this home and go, all right, Nate, this is how I can change my life to be a servant. Okay? It's three things, three quick things. And then we're gonna sing and we're gonna get out of here, okay? It's this. First, you must serve with your actions. What does it look like to be a servant? It looks like serving with your actions. What does this mean? This means to seek tangible and physical opportunities to serve somebody else. It means to literally go and serve somebody with your actions. It's not to sit around and think about it. It's not to, you know, look at somebody and tell somebody about it. It is to go and do. For example, it looks like going home tonight, looking at your mom and dad and saying, what chores can I do around the house, and go and doing them. It looks like looking in the dishwasher or looking in the sink tonight and seeing that there's dishes and doing them. It looks like looking at the clothes that are on your floor that your mom or dad have asked you over and over and over, please put those away, please put those away, please put those away, and putting them away. You know what else it looks like? It looks like going to school tomorrow, and when you're in class and you have some free time, looking around the classroom and seeing all the trash and picking it up and throwing it away. It looks like going up to the teacher and saying, hey, I see that there's still like smudges all over the whiteboard. Do you mind if I clean that for you? Or it looks like saying, hey, teacher, what can I do to help today? Like, what's something small that I can do to make your day better? It also looks like maybe looking at your friend saying, hey, I know finals are coming up. Man, I know that you got a lot of tests. Hey, how can I help you study? Like, do you need, do you want to do like flashcards? Like, I'll read some flashcards off to you. You read some to me. Like, hey, I just know that right now can be very stressful. How can I help? And then doing it. And serving with our actions. Can I tell you a very, very cool opportunity that I am going to shamelessly plug for us of how you can serve the church? This weekend, Saturday, we have issued a church-wide let's go clean up the intern houses. If you don't know, we have interns. I'm one of the interns. We have a new intern coming in, and we have intern houses that are literally a street over. So if you like on your way to drive here, you see a yellow house and a big blue house, those are our houses. And there's some service opportunities for us to do this Saturday from 8:30 to 12 o'clock, where we would love for you to come with your families, come and help serve and just make the house look ready for when the new intern comes. And it's a great opportunity. If you would like to know more about that, you can actually just text 386-734-1991 and just say, hey, tell me more about this. You know, you can put in like, heard about the service opportunity, want to know more, or you can come talk to me about it. Would love for you to be able to serve in a very tangible and physical way, the church that way. Again, that's this Saturday from 8:30 to 12. All you got to do is show up at the intern houses, and I promise we'll have something for you to do. All right. Serve with your accents. Next, serve with your words. There's an old adage, like sticks and stones might break my bones, but y'all don't know it? Okay, let's try it again. Sticks and stones might break my bones, but that's a lie. That is a bold-faced lie. Words hurt because words matter. Let's do it this way. I know that this is going to be a little bit like I'm going to get into your personal space here, but like just do this with me. I promise you won't be alone. Don't be embarrassed for it. Okay. Raise your hand right now if somebody has hurt you with their words today. Today. All right. What about this week? All right. What about this month? What about this year? All right. What about in your life? Yeah. Right. So every hand should be up. And if your hand didn't go up, you're a liar. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. You are though. And it's all right. You can repent about it later. No, listen, words hurt because your words matter. And so what does it look like to serve somebody with your words? I think Hebrews puts it in a great way, in a great example of how we can serve one another with our words. It says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Here in the Hebrews, the writer is saying, man, we need to be people who are lifting one another up. We need to be talking to one another in a way that shows that we love them, that we care about them, and we want to encourage them. So what does it look like to serve with your words? Well, here's some tangible examples. It looks like coming in the door and looking at your mom and dad or guardian and saying, how's your day? Hey, did you have a good day? Hey, how about this? When they ask you, how was your day? It looks like saying anything but just good, bad, or okay. It looks like talking to them about your day. It looks like not just roasting your friends, but complimenting them. Hey, let me tell you, that hits me home because I'm a roaster. I mean, if you've talked to me, I've probably roasted you and I'm sorry, right? But no, truly, we need to know, man, my words matter. Like what I say, whether I mean it in a joking way or in a serious way, they're going to take with them. And so we need to think about like, how am I talking to my friends? How am I talking to my family? How am I talking to my teachers? How am I talking to my classmates? Am I serving them so that when they leave the conversation, they feel better? They feel like, man, somebody cares about me. Somebody wants to know about how I'm doing. Then really think about it. When's the last time that you had a real conversation with somebody and they left that conversation going, man, I feel encouraged. Man, I feel love. Man, I feel honored. Man, we need to be serving people with our words. And finally, we need to be serving people with our thoughts. So we've talked about serving people with your actions and serving people with your words. And you might be thinking like, well, Nate, how can I serve somebody externally with an internal thought? And it's because of this. you cannot serve somebody externally without having a service-minded or being service-minded rather. So like, how can I go and serve somebody with my actions and my words if I'm not thinking about serving somebody else? So we need to think in a service-minded way. How do I do that? How do I serve somebody with my thoughts? It's this. You ask this question to yourself every opportunity you have. How can I serve blank right now? How can I serve blank right now? It is walking into an opportunity, whether it's your parents, whether it's your friends, your classmates, your neighbors, somebody random, and going, how can I serve blank right now? How can I serve my mom right now? How can I serve my friend right now? How can I serve my teacher right now? How can I serve my coach right now? Answering it and then doing it. And let me tell you, maybe you go to that and go, well, man, Nate, I've asked that question before and I've gone with the answer, I don't know. Here's a crazy thing. You can ask that person, hey, listen, I want to serve you right now. How can I do that? I want to do something for you right now. I want to be servant-minded towards you. How can I do that right now? Can I tell you, like, even if they say, hey, man, I really appreciate the offer, but there's nothing really that I need right now. Do you understand that they will leave encouraged? They will leave encouraged knowing, man, you know, so-and-so really wanted to help me. And I love that. We said this earlier. Let me tell you, being a servant is how you become the greatest person that you can become. It is certainly a part of that. But hear me again. This is not something that you have to do that's just like, oh, it's another thing on my plate. Man, this is something that we get to do because Jesus served us so much better. He served us in a way that we will never be able to comprehend and do for somebody else. And so for maybe some of you, this is the question you need to answer today. Have you accepted Jesus's service towards you? Listen, we cannot serve people like Jesus if we do not already have Jesus' service in us. Man, I would love to walk you through what it looks like to accept Jesus as your Savior and to walk a life following Him. I'm telling you, it is so, so much better. But for those in the room that are going, Nate, I've made that decision and I'm rocking with it. Man, all the more praise to you. Let us serve others in a beautiful and mighty way. Hey, let me pray for us. Let's sing, all right?
Thank you for listening. We hope you have a great week and that you are a light for Jesus. Grace and peace.